Morning. Curtis Ola for the plaintiff appellant, Anastasia Maxwell.
Morning.
How are you?
This is a pretty straightforward case, as reflected in our brief. The facts seem clear. The evidence seems clear enough, and I think that we've tediously outlined the evidence in the case showing horrendous sexually, racially driven conduct against this appellant that's lasted ever since she started there with the water department in 2000 and continues until this date. She remains an apprentice plumber. She's still subject to continuing harassment and disrespect. We feel that the district court, as we argued, just pretty much disregarded the evidence, finding that in none of the causes of action that plaintiff had established a prima facie case, and that
Mr. Oler, one of the things before she was terminated, and then I know she did get reinstated, that the city gave reasons for every disciplinary action that they took on her. So then, and the court, then it moved to that you had to give persuasive evidence about pretext. But I would like you to, what evidence can you point to that indicates that the city's termination of Ms. Maxwell for taking copper, or the arbitrator's determination that she should be reinstated without back pay, was discriminatory?
I'm not sure I understood the question.
What was discriminatory about that? It's not disputed. She took copper. They said she stole it. The arbitrator eventually said, okay, yeah, you took it. You shouldn't have taken it. Maybe you didn't understand the policy, but I'm not going to give you back pay. What was discriminatory about when someone's stealing from the work?
Well, actually, she didn't steal it. What was going on and what continues to go on is that plumbers, apprentice plumbers, and laborers all continued to take scrap copper. She was singled out, and I think that there was testimony at the arbitration that she was singled out and she was the only one who was disciplined for removing copper, which, in fact, had been given to her by her supervising plumber. And the evidence makes that quite clear. She was treated differently. And I think the arbitrator made a point that she, in taking the copper, did nothing to suggest that she was trying to hide it or that she felt that she was doing something that she shouldn't have been doing.
Well, the arbitrator didn't give her back pay, so the arbitrator didn't buy everything about that. The arbitrator said, okay, you can go back to work, but maybe you misunderstood the policy, but you can't take the copper.
Well, that's true. I thought the court asked whether it was, to what extent it was discriminatory. And the fact is that, and I repeat, that at no time she felt that she was doing anything different than anybody else, and nobody else was penalized for taking the copper.
Okay, I guess what I would like you to address would be, obviously there's a lot of smoke here. Now, the district court and the city gave explanations for every action that they took against her. So then that puts it over to pretext. So you have to show that, you know, if your client just kept doing things wrong and she was disciplined, that's not the same as being discriminated against. Would you agree to that?
She was treated differently, yes.
No. If, in fact, she did things wrong and she's disciplined for what she did wrong, is that enough to just show discrimination? That in and of itself.
Oh, yes, sure, that's enough. If she was treated disparately, she was treated different than the other employees.
Well, what evidence do you have of that, then?
Because the other employees were not disciplined as they continued to take the copper.
Okay, so you're saying that on the copper. What are the other things where she was treated differently?
I'm sorry, I didn't hear.
Well, what other evidence is there that she was treated differently for being late, for being rude to people, for all of those things? She got into a number of scrapes over a period of time.
Yes, she did.
She had like one good year, I think, and the other years weren't good.
From almost the very day she started her employment, Judge, and it continues to this day. She's been accused of insubordination. She's been accused of going out of the chain of title. She's been accused of not wearing proper use. She's been accused of everything, about taking too much time for lunch, about lying on her time card. We've outlined it tediously in the record, and because of my visual challenge, I can't specifically point to that, but we have outlined it specifically in the record to show what has happened to her continuously over the last 10 years of her employment. And in that regard, she was singled out. She was, and we showed that her sex was a factor, her race was a factor.
Well, she is a woman and she is an African American, but how do I know that that was the reason that all of those happened? The city said the reason that she got in trouble is because she did certain things. How do I know? What can I look at in the record that will tell me it happened to her because she's African American or it happened to her because she's a woman?
Because others engaged in the same conduct that she engaged in and no action whatever was taken against them. I think we cited one instance where there was some kind of physical altercation between a couple of male employees that should have resulted in both of them being terminated. They weren't even charged with any violation.
What evidence was there of that? What did the evidence consist of?
I'm sorry, I didn't hear you.
What was the evidence of how other employees were treated? What did the evidence consist of? Was it testimony? Was it documentary evidence? What the evidence was there? Let's say about the stealing of the cop or the altercation about the fight.
As I've indicated, because I'm visually challenged, I certainly could not even begin to recall or point out these specific instances. All I can do is ask the court to bear with me and review the record. We've made it clear. It was very tedious, and it's all compact. And it indicates.
But I'm not asking a specific question about any item of evidence. I'm asking how did she present this evidence? Was it personnel records? Was it her testimony? Was it testimony or affidavits or declarations from other people?
Oh, yes, yes.
How did it come in?
Yes, we have declarations from.
It's a how question, so you have to tell me.
Yeah, okay, we have the declarations to support her contentions from the names of Brian Williams, a lady by the name of Yancey, a lady by the name of Hogan, and the Clarence Williams.
And they say that other people were stealing copper and were not disciplined?
Yes. I can't be too specific about that. I don't recall, but during the arbitration, there was testimony that others were continuing to take copper and continue to this day to take copper, and they're not disciplined for it. And I think this is what the arbitrator relied on in making the determination that he made, and we were not particularly happy with his determination that she violated the rules. Even though you had these rules there, it was not the practice, and nobody followed the rules, not even the agency. They continued to allow people to take the copper, and she was just singled out for it. And the arbitration was replete with evidence concerning that.
Okay. Thank you. You want to save? You've got about 6 minutes left. Would you like to save for rebuttal?
Yes.
Sure.
Yes.
Yes, Your Honor.
Okay, we'll hear from the other side.
Good morning, Your Honors. Lauren Munson on behalf of Appellee, City and County of San Francisco. Your Honors, the fact is that the plaintiff provided or the appellant provided no evidence to meet the prima facie burden or to establish pretext on any of her causes of action. She's provided no evidence that any of the employment decisions or adverse employment actions were based on her race or gender.
Well, let's take evidence. I mean, Mr. Ola suggested there's evidence in the record that, for example, other people were taking copper and they were not disciplined.
Actually, there is no evidence of that. The only evidence would be from Ms. Maxwell herself, and she alleges that other people have taken copper, but she provides no corroboration or other foundation for these opinions. They are just that opinion.
Does she specify who?
I do not believe in her declaration in opposition to the summary judgment motion. She did not identify people. If you as Mr. Oler referred to the arbitration transcript, she does, I believe, cite names of people, but there's no evidence that the Public Utilities Commission, the PUC, knew that any of these people were taking copper. There's no evidence that they were on notice that anyone else was taking copper. What is in the evidence is that there was a very clear policy reiterating that copper is not free, that there's a scrap policy and that you cannot take copper and that the punishment can be termination if you're caught stealing copper. And there is evidence that there were eyewitnesses that saw her taking copper and putting it into her private vehicle. And there's evidence that the city then chose to enforce its policy, given that she had...
You agree that if the employer has a policy that it enforces selectively based on race, that would be evidence of discrimination?
Yes, if there was evidence of that, but there is absolutely no evidence that the city enforces policy in a disparate way. There's absolutely no evidence that it was aware that anyone else was violating the policy. So I don't see how the city could disparately or could, you know, discipline someone if they're not aware that there's theft going on. In this case, they were.
Well, what about, why doesn't the city's handling of Paul, I think, Buscal's derogatory remarks, I think, what did he call her, quote-unquote, bitch?
I think so, yes.
In the context of Ms. Maxwell's employment history, raised material issues of fact concerning a claim of hostile work environment.
It's an isolated incident. One incident, actually, I think she testified in her deposition, Ms. Maxwell did, that he called her bitch on two separate isolated occasions, months apart, and that does not rise to the level of severe and pervasive. And
right, further, if he did it three times in a year, would that be enough?
No.
So what would be enough? Every day you have to be called a bitch?
It would have to be every day.
Oh, no.
I mean,
that can't be right.
Well, it would have to be more than twice, and I would say more than
three
times.
Well, it has to be pervasive.
Yes, it has to be pervasive. And it has to affect the terms or her employment conditions, and there's no evidence that it did. In fact, there is evidence that, or the city did take corrective action against this Paul person, and he did end up getting a one-day suspension because of it. But that happened after, you know, the record closed, so that's not in the record. But there is evidence in the record that there were disciplinary proceedings instituted against him.
Well, now, she got disciplined a lot, and so I would call this where there's smoke, there's fire. I mean, it's true. Every time that she was disciplined, you give a reason. But why, and she is black, and she is a woman. So what would they have had to show on pretext, assuming that, because the court moved it in the McDonnell Douglas, she did give the reason, so we're really at the pretext.
Well, I believe the district court found that she didn't even meet her prima facie burden. She didn't show the causal connection, but then also went and did the pretext analysis as well. But I would just like to note that a lot of the incidences for the retaliation, the discrimination causes of action are completely outside the statute of limitations, and appellant concedes the city's argument in the district court. So for the FIHA and the 1981 claims, you can't look at anything but before
before October, the settlement?
No, before October 2005. For the discrimination under 1981 and the FIHA claims. So that would put only the discipline for...
But now, wouldn't Morgan say that when you're looking at a hostile work environment, you could look back?
You can.
I mean, it's not actionable, but it can be all part of a pattern if there are incidents that occur after the date.
You can. However, I would point to... there was a break in, you know, the disciplinary actions in December.
She's gone for 18 months.
Well, no, before that, actually. In December of 2004, Kevin Berry, who's the manager of CDD, which is the division of PUC where she worked, sat down with her, and she had new pending disciplinary actions against her. And I think they were recommending dismissal at that time. And Kevin Berry sat down with her. I believe that Mr. Oler was involved in this conversation, sat down with the appellant, and actually set aside all of those the disciplinary recommendations, and they came up with a work agreement, and he
Is that where they had to go to the team meeting and that didn't even...
No, no, this was after that. This was way after that. This was in December 2004. Sat down. They came up with a work agreement, set aside the disciplinary actions. Ms. Maxwell agreed to follow the policies and procedures and the rules of the city. And Mr. Berry said, I'll work with you. Let's meet on a monthly basis. If you have a problem, come to me. Let's work through your problem. You know, obviously you're not happy here. Let's see how we can fix this. And she had, this was the quiet year from December 2004 up until her the theft of copper in August 2006. She had no disciplinary action. So, you know, that break in time, I think, breaks the, you know, the, any argument of continuing action here. And she had a discipline free for over about 18 months, a little bit more, until she broke the policies and procedures of the PUC and decided to take some copper. And that brings us to her termination. But I mean, the city would argue that the adverse employment action in question here...
She is now working for the city or not?
She is. She was reinstated.
She was reinstated, and then she brought the lawsuit.
Yeah, she filed the lawsuit during the dependency of her arbitration. So while she was grieving her termination, she also filed the lawsuit.
And her reinstatement doesn't render the case moot, I gather.
Excuse me? I'm sorry.
She was reinstated without
back pay.
She
was reinstated.
The case isn't moot, I take it.
I don't see that. I mean, she did not raise discrimination or harassment in her arbitration, so that wasn't an issue considered by the arbitrator. It was simply just cause for her termination.
So what your position basically is, yes, there's been a lot of activity, but yes, she does stuff wrong, you respond to it, and it has nothing to do, and she's presented no evidence that it has to do with race or that it has to do with sex.
Yes, I mean, she's presented no evidence that any of the disciplinary actions were, even if we're going to go beyond the statute of limitations, were related to her race or gender at all. And she's actually said yes in her declaration, many of her statements are, yes, I wasn't wearing my safety equipment, and yes, I did come late to lunch or back from lunch. She actually admits that a lot of the actions are true, but she just is saying that I wasn't treated fairly. But she provides no evidence of any other employee that engaged in the same activity as her and was treated differently. There's no evidence other than her own opinions and her speculation that other people were treated differently, but there's no corroborating evidence, no foundation for any of her opinions. And case law shows that the appellant's opinions alone, that either that the employer's reasons were wrong or unwarranted, are not enough. There needs to be more, and that more is not here. And I would like to talk. The court hasn't mentioned it, but in the papers, one of Ms. Maxwell's contentions for retaliatory actions is her failure to be promoted. And I just wanted to highlight that Ms. Maxwell was terminated at the time that the promotional, with the city, eligibility lists are created in order to consider promotions. And this is, because the employees are civil servants, and there's a whole civil service rules that govern promotions. And this promotional list, which is found at the announcement is found at Supplemental Excerpt of Record 693 through 694. I just want to point out the timeline here, and that this list was advertised in October 2006. Ms. Maxwell was terminated at that point. This was a promotive-only announcement.
But if you wrongfully terminated her, how could she? But I guess her position is, had you not wrongfully terminated her, she would have been there, and then she could have gotten on the list.
That is her argument, but the problem with that argument is, well, first of all, there's no evidence that the promotional process was in any way related to Ms. Maxwell and her race and her gender or any of her complaints. They're completely, you know, two separate tracks. I just wanted to emphasize that this list was a promotive-only in-house promotion. You had to be an employee in order to even apply to be on this eligibility list. Ms. Maxwell was not an employee at that time. She was not on the eligibility list. The list was closed prior to the arbitrator's decision reinstating her. She was never on that eligibility list, so she was never eligible for promotion. So what she's asking for, what the city would have had to do is discard the eligibility list, reopen the entire application process, reopen it to everyone, and restart the whole process over again for Ms. Maxwell to be considered. And that's the fact is that she was not eligible for those lists because she was not an employee at that time. And she also, beyond that, even if she were on the list, has provided no evidence of how she is more qualified than anyone who's on the list or anyone that was promoted, no evidence that she would have been eligible for promotion. So, I mean, the record is...
Okay, thank you.
Okay, you have no further questions?
Thank you. You've got a little time left for rebuttal, Mr. Olas?
A couple of points. First, relative to the promotion, there were people promoted off of that list after Ms. Maxwell was reinstated. And, of course, the city can do whatever it wants to with its eligibility lists. Now, the fact is that Ms. Maxwell still has not been promoted, and that she would have been promoted and could have been promoted, notwithstanding that list, if, in fact, she was eligible to be promoted to the position of a plumber. And there was evidence in the record indicating that she had seniority above several of the people who were promoted to the position of plumber. And additionally, I do think that the record speaks for itself and shows that the continuing conduct against her was pervasive and continuing, and it definitely impacted upon her continuing status with the agency, her not getting paid for the 18 months she was off from work, and for her still not yet being promoted to the position of plumber. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Case society will stand submitted. We are adjourned.
Thank you.